Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hello and welcome to a very special F1 Explains from the Circuit of the Americas at this year's United States Grand Prix. My name is Christian Hugill, and as usual, with me is Katie Osborne.
This is one of those moments, Christian, that we've all been waiting for. When this podcast came out, to be able to be together on a stage with a bunch of our community members, it doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't get any better than that. And not only is it special because me and Katie are in the same country as each other, which is particularly exciting.
Very exciting.
Even more exciting than that, what you are about to listen to is our first ever live show. We are about to go on stage at the Circuit of the Americas with David Coulthard.
Yeah, he's no stranger to our show here on F1 Explains, but of course, having him here, being a part of the show, already hearing people saying, David, like, people are stoked that he's around, and I'm glad to have him on stage.
So let's hear from David Coulthard with some of our very special F1 Explains listeners. This is our first ever live show from the United States Grand Prix. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special live edition of F1 Explains. This is the official Formula One podcast that puts your questions to superstars of the sport. And we've got a bit of a legend for you, haven't we, Katie?
Already people have been calling out his name, if you've been able to catch it. He's a 13-time winner. He's driven for quite a few teams in the paddock. One would say McLaren, Red Bull, Williams. He's an outstanding guy. He actually just carried my bag all the way over here, which was very nice of him. He still has some chivalry.
He's a lovely human being. So, guys, would anybody like to hear from David Coulthard? Hang on. They tell me everything's bigger in America, so I think we can do that bigger.
And I think we can do that bigger in Texas, am I right?
Yeah. So, would anybody like to hear from David Coulthard? Ladies and gentlemen, joining me, Christian Hugill and Katie Osborne, on the stage is Formula One legend, David Coulthard!
Thank you very much. I believe I'm meant to stand right there. We had a long conversation backstage about where we're standing. So have I hit my mark?
You're on your mark, and we're on our mark. This is what happens behind the scenes right here.
We get told off if we don't stand on the right bit. Stefano Domenicali, the boss of Formula One, comes on the stage to shout at us if we don't stand on the right bit. David, welcome to F1 Explains. It's lovely to have you here in Texas.
Are you telling them that so they remember where they are, just in case they don't know that they're in Texas?
And by the way,
it's only 11:30. They're not drunk. They know they're at the... Well, actually,
don't know. Those guys might be. Those guys have had a few already.
Well, you're no stranger now to, obviously, F1 Explains, if you guys were with us earlier a few weeks back. So thank you for that. We welcome you back a second time.
It's lovely to have you on, David. And obviously, we're here on a Friday of an F1 weekend. What's a Friday like for a driver? What do you guys get up to on a Friday?
Well, if you mean back when I used to go around in circles, then Friday is an important day for the team to sort of get their eye in, to understand whether all the simulation work has paid off in terms of giving them a start balance which delivers confidence in the driver. There's nothing worse than going out and, you know, maybe if the wind direction's different or stronger than you're expecting, suddenly the car is a bit unpredictable. And if that is the case, then suddenly you're a little bit on the back foot. So Friday, you're looking for a really, let's say, predictable day where you can evaluate the tires, fine-tune the car, and just build your confidence towards when it really counts, which is qualifying day, which actually that's today because it's a sprint weekend. And
Texas is excited for a sprint, aren't you? You
love it. I'd like to know more about why we like the sprint here in a moment. But
yeah, so then this is a very different weekend. Sprint weekends, you don't get really much time to sort of feel yourself in. You get one practice session, then next session you're out there delivering your best lap.
Well, you talk about the sprint weekend. Of course, you mentioned wind. And here at COTA, we've definitely seen some extreme wind with these drivers out on the track, especially last year. You also mentioned sprint. This is the first time that a sprint weekend has come to COTA. What do you expect out of the track?
I am a fan of racing, like you. I like to watch these guys go out, and I love to see, you know, human and machine go to the limit of what can be achieved on that day. So I expect to see them battling hard, trying to deliver performance, especially in that first sector. It's so involved for the drivers. If you get a little bit out of sequence, you pay the penalty in the following corners. So I think it's an exciting track. I think the concept of this racetrack with elevation change, the sequence of corners that are kind of compared to some of the great corners of other Grand Prix tracks has come up with an amazing venue. So I would expect if I was in the car, then you'd be a real high-speed adrenaline rush of excitement and, you know, desire to do a quick lap time and then hope that you see that fast lap time at the end of the lap.
And you guys have got a great circuit here. They've also got quite good fans, haven't they, at the Circuit of the Americas?
Can I just say that out of all the drivers having conversations with them prior to coming to Austin, I'm not just saying this, they say that this is one of the best fan bases in all of motorsport and all of F1. And it does start right here, I think, right here. But also beyond that, you guys have been spectacular. And that's really what this show is actually all about as well.
All about the fans. And David, would you have liked to have raced a sprint weekends? You guys love racing, right? So I'm guessing that it would have been more racing and you'd have loved it.
Absolutely. More racing is a good thing. So whether it's sprint or whether it's a full Grand Prix, and I know we have to distinguish between, winning a sprint race isn't quite as given the same focus as winning a Grand Prix just based on distance, but it's still an incredible achievement. So not to be belittled at all.
So someone like an Oscar, for instance, who takes a win within a sprint weekend, he can kind of say, hey, look, I've done a little something, I'm adding a little bit to my cap, and that can help carry the momentum into a race weekend.
Yeah, he's lost his virginity. He's no longer,
We heard it here from DC first, guys.
He is a winner, and he did it beautifully.
Okay, now, we say that this show is all about the fans. Hi, everyone. You are brilliant. We have people from all over the world. Email us their questions. Ask us anything you like. whyfone.com. And that is what some of our listeners have done. And some of them have made the trip, like you guys, to be with us, especially here at the Circuit of the Americas. So we're going to bring some of them out to say hello. So, ladies and gentlemen, give a huge F1 Explains welcome to our first fan. It's Crystal! Crystal.
Hang on.
We need to deal with this. Crystal, I think you have. We've got David Coulthard fans. I think we have some Crystal fans here. Crystal, are they always that loud? That's extraordinary.
Yes. Here's the thing. Yes. She gave us a little the TLC to say, I think my friends are going to be loud for me. And they were. That is good. That is your tribe right there. That's a tribe.
Crystal, shout out your fans. What are they called?
This is Nelly, Naomi, Cameron, and my boo Roxy.
Thank you, all of you, for coming and joining and more importantly, supporting Crystal.
They are the loudest fans in the history of Formula One, I've decided. Nobody has ever been louder in the sport's 70-year history. Crystal, you're here to ask a legend a question. Crystal, meet David. David, meet Crystal.
Hello, we met David. Already.
Excellent.
But thank you for reintroducing us.
Yes, hi, David.
Crystal, what would you like to ask David Coulthard?
I would like to ask why it's so important for F1 drivers to have a good relationship with their teammates.
Well, it's important to have a good relationship because it just helps the harmony of the team when you're trying to develop your car. I have always felt that the words, or the two words, teammate, or is it one word? Or is it a hyphen?
I think it might be a hyphen.
A hyphen.
I don't know for sure.
Team, yeah, team states, hyphen, I think stateside mate. Is absolutely not a hyphenated word. Stateside.
I've got that wrong. Excellent.
I don't know.
I've always felt it's a misnomer because your teammate is also your biggest competitor. So the only time you can really have a more easygoing relationship is when you're building a team towards winning. The minute you have a winning car, if your teammate wins, you lose. Right. If you win, he loses. So that's where it becomes a little bit tense. So, but look, I had teammates like Mika Häkkinen. We just saw him in the paddock before coming over. We were 7 years together. Great guy. It was very difficult for us to really spend a lot of social time as teammates. In retirement, we hang out and do different events together because we're no longer trying to beat each other.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
And speaking of Mika Häkkinen, and speaking of the teammate relationship, you guys finished being teammates, what, in the early 2000s at McLaren, right? But you're still doing each other favours and looking after each other. Mika was supposed to be with us here, but couldn't make it. So who did he call? His teammate, David Coulthard, everyone. Does that teammate relationship carry on decades into the future? Will you ever be free of Mika Häkkinen and his demands?
I've got a strong bond with Mika. We were 7 years together. We went through, the emotional roller coaster of him coming back from his crash in Adelaide in 95. So I joined the team in 96. And then through him winning his world championships and the team winning the constructors. And we had a lot of fun and a lot of good and bad days along the way. We both live in the same town. We live about 100 meters apart. So it's quite difficult to, even if we didn't want to bump into each other, it's quite difficult not to bump into each other.
Yeah, and I think he owes you one on this one, folding some laundry or at least something in the process of. We're glad to have you, DC. And I think one of the things that we had a conversation yesterday with Joe and Valtteri about the impact of teammates. Coming up, F1 Explains, we'll have a whole episode actually on teammates. So thank you, Crystal, for setting that one in motion. But we talk about the importance of teammates. Why? Why on the track is that something on and off track to really maintain that relationship? And which one do you think this year they have that really special bond on track? Which group?
Well, I think if you look, I see a few McLaren hats out there. I think the McLaren are a really interesting one because when you had Lando and Carlos together, they really had, I think, a very good friendship as they were in a period at that time where McLaren were not that competitive. I'm not sure if there was so much of that with Daniel and Lando because maybe Daniel being a bit more established. But if you look at Lando and Oscar right now, they really seem to have a good working relationship as well. That's going to become more tested. Now they're battling over victories or they're battling over podiums. But they seem to get along pretty well. Actually, I think it's probably easier to look at what teams look like the teammates of tension. And I'm not sure there is any in the Formula One teams right now. It all seems like we need a bit of a rift between teammates. They're all getting along.
As a Mercedes fan,
well.
Crystal, do you think there's a little rift there?
David wants to see a bit of drama. David wants to see a bit of...
I actually forgot about when I see you with your Mercedes shirt. I forgot about George and Lewis
there
crashing into each other
there.
In Qatar.
The Mercedes guys have kissed and make up after their coming together. And we got some Mercedes fans in. I can think And I think I can see some McLaren fans in as well.
The orange really
there
stands
at the
out.
Back. Yeah, absolutely. Also, how awesome has she been with bringing her own entourage as well? Crystal, thank you for coming to join us. Crystal was on one of our first ever F1 Explains interviews.
Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Crystal.
That was awesome.
I don't think drivers have a fan group that loud. That's shocked me to the core. Would you like to
Love
meet
it.
Another
thank
one
you.
Of our fans?
Yeah, this is a fan who actually yesterday spent her day at the racetrack. She is a full throttle fan through and through of all things motorsport, which we do appreciate and love. But you can see, as Sammy comes up on stage, she is sporting the Mercedes look, feel, vibe.
Ladies
if you
and gentlemen,
will.
Sammy!
And as Sammy kind of walks on out here, yesterday you had the chance to make your way around the track. Give us a 101 on what that experience was like.
Oh my gosh, this is my second time to COTA, and it is just unbelievable. Coming here and being able to spend all day, all night is just an amazing experience. I can't wait to see all the racing that we have today and the rest of the weekend, and it's just really exciting to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You've set it up really well. Sammy, what would you like to ask Mr. David Coulthard?
Hi, thanks so much. So I'm really curious why reaction times are so important in Formula One.
Reaction times. Seriously, are you curious?
Sammy's questions,
I spend a lot of time thinking about F1, aside from just the weekend,
the fact that he actually asked, are you actually serious about this?
Yes.
Well, the reason I ask because I would have thought having a good reaction time, if you are, you know, a tennis player or if you are, you know, a soccer player or whatever, a racing driver, in sport generally, I would have thought you all need to have pretty good reaction times to be able to make a decision as something's coming towards you. And if you're a tennis player, it's a ball coming at 100 odd miles an hour. If you're a race car driver, it's the corner coming towards you when you do 200 miles an hour. So you have to make decisions. And I think that life, actually sport teaches us a lot, I think, for just life in general. And in life, the only bad decision is no decision. You make no decision, you haven't taken a course of action. Where if you don't make a decision in the race car to brake with a good reaction time, you crash. So you've got to make a decision. And of course, it may turn out you brake too early or you brake too late and you'll react for the next time. But at least you've taken action. So reactions are absolutely the core of how you feel the car. And a lot of you may imagine, for those of you who haven't raced, that you're feeling the car purely through your hands and then reacting with decisions for what you do with your feet and what gear. But actually, a lot of what you feel is through your body. So as the car moves, a little bit like if you were walking on ice, you feel that you're moving.
I love a good analogy.
Before you think, I'll move my foot.
Yeah.
So your whole body is engaged with your reactions. And that's the same in a race car. So the buttocks are a very important part of how a driver feels a race car, because that's the closest part of contact to the racetrack. And reactions are, you know, you look at some guys, like, I've always felt Fernando Alonso is one of those guys that really shows.
Also got some Aston fans in there, haven't we?
Like, he looks like he's reacted to the event before we've even realized he's going to have an event, and then the car straight. And then other drivers who, you know, they're all good drivers, but some guys, they'll spin, and then, you know, having made the reaction, and others will have reacted before they spin.
Is reaction time experience driven, or is it innate?
I think it's got to be part of your DNA, because I'm going to share something that I don't know as a fact. So therefore,
don't worry about it. It'll be okay. We're all friends here, aren't we?
It's on a podcast.
So it could be open to question. But I was told that Michael Schumacher, who was, you know, unbelievable winning machine, and someone that we, you know, I certainly have so much admiration for his abilities. But I was told that on a reaction test, a typical sort of start reaction test, because we used to do a lot of simulations on a computer, lights going out and reacting, you know, to how quickly we could get that driver reaction down to less than a couple of hundred milliseconds. And I was told that Michael wasn't actually particularly good on his reaction test, but it didn't slow him down when it came to driving the race car. So I'm going to go that even if your reactions are not, let's say, marginally the best, if your feel is marginally better, then that's probably the main driving factor to what makes an unbelievable driver versus a very good driver.
So basically, we've learned that the answer to the question is the buttocks are very important.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a lesson we can all take through life, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's, again, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first from David Coulthard.
DC, scale 1 to 10, how would you say your reaction time was? Was that a skill, a trait, a strength of yours in the car?
Yeah, I think my reactions were good, and I know from the analysis we did, I was definitely in the upper level with reactions. And even today at 52, sometimes I'll knock something over and I'll catch it and I'll go, oh.
I still got it.
Still got it.
Still got it.
You know, when you have those moments all alone to yourself and you're going, wow, that's impressive.
I wish someone was there to see that.
Yeah, but, you know, this sport is not about reaction testing. It's about lap time testing. And that's always going to be the most important thing. So you can have somebody that's fastest in reaction testing, but if they're not fastest in lap time, it doesn't matter.
Sammy, how did David Coulthard do in answering your question?
I love that answer. Thank you so much. That was really thorough. Thank you.
We appreciate you coming out. Ladies and gentlemen, warm round of applause for Sammy.
Thank you.
Haven't our fans been great, everybody? Haven't our fans been brilliant?
Hold on, we know now there's some Aston Martin and Alonso fans out here. But we haven't heard yet from the Ferrari fans. We got some Ferrari fans out there? All right, we got a few. We got an F1 Academy fan. Love that.
Yeah. And we've got a
represent.
I think there's a Checo fan there, I'm guessing, for the Mexican.
A little Red Bull action. And of course, how about Max? Anybody?
I'd also, what's your sign say? Ferrari, can we have an incident-free weekend? Fingers crossed for Ferrari. Excellent. Right, would anybody like to meet another fan? Of course we would. Ladies and gentlemen, for our third and final fan, please give a warm F1 Explains welcome to Amanda.
Now, Amanda is a new fan this season. She is somebody who has taken to motorsport as a whole, which we really love and respect, but she's also taken the deep dive into Formula One. Anybody else out there a new fan to Formula One? Got new fans? Okay, we got one. I've got a finger point right down there. Amanda, there's your girl out there as well. But there are plenty of some new timers here, Amanda being one of them. What is your question for DC?
So my question for you is, what are some of the strange or different ways that F1 drivers train?
Okay, so I never ever ran for training. I'm not a runner. I broke my leg near the knee when I was a young driver in Belgium in 1990. And when that healed, if I ran, then I got pain in my leg. So, and I was, you know, it was a long time ago, so we didn't do keyhole surgery back in those days. So my entire racing career, you would never ever see me running the track, running anywhere. If you see me running, you run, because there's obviously trouble. So I did all of my cardio on bicycles, swimming, the rowing machine. I spent months of my life sitting on a rowing machine, which is a fantastic, I think
that
way
is
to
one
train.
Of the most challenging gym exercises you could possibly have picked.
Yeah,
is the
I
rowing
hate
machine.
It.
The rowing machine.
I absolutely love it, because it's not just about the physical exercise. Mentally, there's nowhere to disappear. When you run or you cycle, you can kind of lose your thoughts and do what you're doing, but on the rowing
machine,
very
valid point,
you just have to keep slogging away. So I guess that would be considered slightly unusual, because most of the drivers run. It's they can do it anywhere. They can turn up in the hotel and go running. You don't need a gym for that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's a bit weird for training.
Well, I tell you what, a lot of fans who are newer to the sport find weird is the importance of the necks. And we had Alex Rossi, former US F1 driver, on one of our early podcasts, who said he could never buy suits because his neck had become so strong that his neck was disproportionately bigger than the rest of his body. So he had to get weird fitting suits. So David, just explain why the neck's so important for Formula One
How's
drivers.
How's your suit game?
Well, my neck is a lot skinnier than it used to be. You know, my neck used to come basically from my jaw, which is a little bit wider than some, down to my shoulder. I had shirts made to measure, because if I was getting a shirt that fitted my neck, it was an extra large, and of course it was just so baggy.
Like a blouse.
It was ridiculous. So yeah, drivers have strong necks. You know, I still have the same equipment back at home that I used when I was a driver. I've got a 14-year-old son who's racing karts, and I thought, well, I'll keep all the kit, because maybe one day I'll have a son or daughter who wants to race. And I used to have 30 kilogram weights on this Technogym machine, and I would sit there for long periods of time just working each element of the neck, and also with the arms in the steering position. Because it's a, you know, it's one thing doing a bicep curl or a pull-up, but that's quite a specific exercise that you don't see many people in the gym with a weight going, ugh. You know, if people would think you were having
don't
a fit.
Don't do neck day, do you? It's like you do arms day. Well, it's neck day today. Yeah. People would be like, what?
Yeah, twisting day. So I think it's important that you train for the environment you're in. And, you know, I'm tall for, there's a lot of tall
I'd
drivers
say you do
now.
Have some height, too, for a driver, too. Yeah, you're taller for a driver.
Yeah, so, you know, the little guys, you know, your Fernandos and things like that, they have an advantage packaging-wise, so they can be a little bit more full-bodied, where weight was very important. Back when I was doing it, you couldn't really be more than 71, 72 kilos. So you know, you didn't want to carry weight and legs and things like that where it wasn't helping you drive the car.
Amanda, before we let you go, now DC has so expertly answered your question. This is your first ever time at a Grand Prix, isn't it? What do you make of it?
It's been amazing so far. I'm so excited to see the cars on track later, and just the whole weekend, I'm so excited for the whole thing.
And have you met plenty of fans? Because we know how good the fans are in Austin.
Yes.
And this isn't normal. You don't go on stage in every race you go to. So this is a good first race to
good
have done.
Good rookie move here, yeah.
Setting the bar real high.
Amanda, thank you so much for coming out to see us. Ladies and gentlemen, Amanda!
You know, DC, you kind of talked a little bit there about the physical strength. What makes the good, the great, the greatest? How much of it is a combination of having the mental strength, the emotional strength, and the physical strength all in one package, plus a good car?
Yeah, I think that if you're going to be weak in any area, if you're an exceptional driver, but you're maybe not the fittest driver, you can still win through because natural talent will take you to the lap time. But I think at this level, there's no one out there on track that isn't incredibly fit and maximizing their talent. So someone like Max, who's obviously won the World Championship again, we all know he's a passionate gamer. So when he's not at Grand Prix, he's got his gaming team, and you know he's very active there, as well as then going and doing the simulator work with the team. And the other drivers will all have their own things they like to do away from Formula One. But the bottom line, I believe, is that you cannot manufacture a miracle, which is a great line from a Robbie Williams song. I don't know Robbie Williams, you guys have heard of
it. Is it I'm Loving Angels Instead?
Yeah. You can't manufacture a miracle.
DC.
I'm trying to remember what the name of the song is now. But anyway.
DC can sing.
I like the line because we're all wondering who the next great, you know, Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen or Schumacher, Senna, who is this new person? Well, if we're patient, they will come to us because talent and exceptional talent will always find its way to the highest levels of sport. And, you know, maybe one of the women racing in F1 Academy, maybe someone that's in karting. We don't know, but we'll find out soon enough. But all of the drivers are very good at what they do. But in sport, we're looking for exceptional. And whether that's football, why does Ronaldo or Messi, why do they play just a little bit better than the majority? Could they just a little bit better? Mm. And why does Lewis, Max, Vettel, all these guys that have been multiple champions, I don't think it's because they work harder per se. I think they've got an incredible amount of natural talent and they work hard enough,
at least,
you know, I'm sure they all work incredibly hard, to take that talent and to take a group of people, bring them together as a team and just have that absolute determination and focus that whatever the challenge, they're going to rise to it and go out and try and deliver.
David, before we let you go, we've got some people who emailed us at y@f1.com to say they were going to be here in the crowd here at COTA. So we're going to say hello to them and see if we can see them. If they're not here, it will be quite awkward, won't it? And we'll ban them from ever listening again. So it's high stakes here, guys.
That is not a stake.
We won't really ban them. But
we want you.
So, Katie, go on. Let's shout out our fans who are supposedly here.
Bridget and Erica Helgen. There you go, the F1 Academy lovers, twin sisters. Bridget's been an F1 fan for a while. Erica is just getting into it.
Guys,
congratulations.
You're very welcome.
Welcome to our fun here with Formula One.
Sarah Martin from Oklahoma. Is Sarah here? Oh, Sarah, for goodness sake.
Crickets.
Sarah's at the back, all the way over there.
There she is. Thank you, Sarah. Yep.
Sarah's here. She's a mile away. She could have come closer, but Sarah's here.
And she is making her way. That is so wonderful.
She's running down.
John and Brooke from Chicago. That ain't you, but hey, welcome anyways. It's nice to have you, John from Chicago. That's great.
Amazing. Fine. That's good. We've got a substitution. Who else have we got? Jenny and Oslo from Lincoln, Nebraska. They're here. Oslo is 14, and when he's older, he wants to do F1 pit stops. We love it. Guys, welcome.
And last, we have Michelle Karp.
There she is.
All right. Michelle, it's her second time to COTA. Welcome back. And thank you for joining us here with the F1 Explained show.
And Michelle's in one of the Red Bull t-shirts that confuse me because they're McLaren orange. And I always think I've not got very good eyesight. And I think they're McLaren from a distance.
Yeah, but I can see how Red Bull could be very mistaken, for sure.
Speaking of Red Bull, we've got one of Red Bull's first ever drivers who's been with us. And he's been amazing. David, we're so grateful. Ladies and gentlemen, David Coulthard. This has been Katie Osborne. I've been Christian Hugill. We've been F1 Explains. Circuit of the Americas, thank you very much. We'll see you next year.
Yeah! Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And there we go, our first ever live show. Katie, how did you find it?
How did I find it? That was just so much fun. That was so many laughs, so many smiles. People were so engaged. My gosh, Crystal's fans, like, she
Crystal's fans.
She has more friends and fans here than Daniel Ricciardo has. It was really impressive. And just, I'm just grateful it came full circle. This has been something we've been working towards.
We're so grateful. If you were there in the crowd at the US Grand Prix, thank you so much for coming. If you're one of the hundreds of people that have sent us messages wishing us luck for the show and saying you wish you could have been there, don't worry, we'll see you at a future race, I'm absolutely sure. And of course, a massive thank you to Crystal, Amanda and Sammy, and the F1 legend that is David Coulthard. He's just a top man, isn't he, Katie?
He absolutely is. We are so glad he was a part of our show today.
A big thanks also to the whole stage team at the Circuit of the Americas for making it possible. And we just want to give a bit of a shout out to some of our listeners who've emailed us recently. And Katie, you'll like this one in particular. Hello to Jacques from Zurich in Switzerland, who wrote specifically to congratulate Katie on the birth of baby Olivia Hope. Jacques' second son, Leonard, was also born on the same day, 5th
wow.
of September, am I right?
Yeah, thank you, Christian. Yes, and that is such a neat little story. Leonard, hello. And I'm so glad that Olivia Hope shares a birthday with you. Thank you, Jacques, for doing so and sending that in. What a neat little message.
Welcome to the world, Leonard. And also, Olivia Hope and Leonard are the 5th of September. I'm 4th of September.
That was really, I know, there was a part of me that really wanted Olivia Hope to just pop out a little bit early, but
nearly had the same birthdays. Hello also to Florence from Florida, who's been listening since the summer break. Welcome to you, Florence.
And Morgan from Michigan. Guys, this has been such a treat to be able to share our F1 Explains from COTA, but we're also very excited to be building this F1 Explains community. Thank you so much for being a part of it.
You'll probably know how to get in touch by now, but a little reminder, if not, why@f1.com is our email address. Ask us anything you like, and me and Katie will find the right people to answer it. Don't forget to hit like or subscribe or follow to get this podcast in your feed every single week. And myself and Katie will be here with new episodes every single Friday. Thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.